Today is August 28th, 2014. This is Desiree Hargis on behalf of the H.J. Lucher Stark Center for Physical Culture and Sports. As part of the 1968 U.S. Olympic Team Oral History Project, I am interviewing Colonel John Russell over the phone about his experiences in the 1968 Olympic Games in Mexico City. Colonel Russell, can you begin with when and where you were born?
Yes, in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, in 1920, February 2nd, 1920.
Okay, and can you tell us a little bit about where you grew up?
Yeah, I was born and raised on a Pennsylvania dairy farm just north of Harrisburg, right in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Had a farm there, about 300 acres, 50 milk cows, and some horses for work, and a few racehorses. So I grew up pretty much as a farm boy and computed the school in Harrisburg, which was about 20 miles away.
So how did you first get involved in any kind of athletic activity or sports? What was the earliest athletic pursuit that you enjoyed?
Well, I grew up, since we had horses on the farm, I grew up, as my dad's hobby was racehorses. And so I always had some horses, and as a teenager, I showed jumpers on the Pennsylvania circuit. And then I joined the Army, which was the 104th Cavalry, which was a National Guard unit with hundreds of horses, which we could ride at any time. Then we were federalized in 1940. And I went to OCS, and it was Horse Cavalry OCS. And I went to North Africa and Italy. And we had the war ended. I had a big villa that I was commanding, a recon company that had horses. So we just immediately started to compete in Italy in the Italian horse shows. And then from there, I was sent to the tryout for the Olympic team in the equestrian in 1948. And there I was second, and so that got me started with horses in the international circuit.
I see. So was there anybody that was a hero or a role model to you in terms of horseback riding in the international circuit?
Well, when I was a kid stateside, most of the National Guard instructors had been through the Cavalry School Horsemanship Department, and so I got a lot of basic training from them. And then in Italy, I was fortunate enough to run into an Italian colonel who headed up Mussolini's horse show team, and I, of course, had a lot of really good instruction from him before I joined the American Olympic team. And throughout my riding career, we had a lot of good German instructors and, of course, a lot of good American instructors. And one of them was an Army colonel who had already won a bronze medal in the 36 Olympics. So I was had a lot of good coaches.
Mm-hmm. So leading up to 1968, tell me a little bit about how you became involved with the 1968 Olympic team.
Well, that was started back in 1948, and I was in London as a member of the equestrian team. And we were sitting together one evening, and a general walked in, American general. And amongst other things, he said that the pentathlon team was competing in a day or two, and they had absolutely nobody to help them with the riding. And could we send somebody? Of course, at this point, all other members of the teams were full colonel, and I was the captain, so you knew who got that assignment. So I went and watched Biz Moore, the American, win a silver medal. And so from then on, I kept pretty in touch with pentathlon. If I was, well, then I remember in 51, I was trying out for the 52 team, and they sent the pentathlon team to Fort Riley for me to coach them in riding. And that continued until I took over as OIC in about 56.
Okay. So did you coach the team that went to the Little Olympics in 1967 in Mexico City? It was like a practice or a pre-Olympics held in Mexico City in 1967?
Yes, we competed quite often in Mexico before their Olympics and afterwards.
Okay. So, somebody that you helped coach, you helped coach the modern pentathlon team, and you also coached the equestrian team. Is that correct for 1968?
No. I was a member of the equestrian team from 47 until, I guess, 55 or something, you know. Off and on, I was a member of the team. But I stayed mostly in Europe. When the American team came to the States, I stayed in Europe and competed over there and did my Army duties.
Okay. So, When you were with the team in 1968, were you coaching the modern pentathlon team on horseback riding?
Yes, I was in 68. I was the head coach of the pentathlon team.
Okay.
It was in Mexico City, of course.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about that experience. Getting down to Mexico City, when you first arrived there, what was your impression of the city's preparations for those 68 Olympic Games?
Well, personally, the only events I saw was the facilities for pentathlon and the equestrian, and they were both excellent, except for the rain, and it's a really tremendous downpour of rain, and flooded out the three-day team, but they still managed to get by. And the jumping, it was a beautiful stadium and well put together courses, and the good thing about that was, for me, was that I got to watch it. And my old teammate, Bill Steinkraus, won an individual gold medal, which is the first time the U.S. has ever won a gold medal in show jumping.
Wow. So, Tom Lowe, who was on the modern pentathlon team, he was telling me that there was a particularly rough start to the three-day equestrian event. Was that?
Yeah, that was because of the rain. Okay. It was really flooded out, and some of the jumps are actually underwater.
Oh, I see.
But the pentathlon, because we trained at altitude, what we did, we had trials here in San Antonio, and then went to Colorado Springs for altitude training. And then we had to run swim up there to see how the altitude would affect them, and that changed the standing a little bit. And then we went to right straight from there to Mexico. And they still didn't run quite as good as they normally did because of the altitude.
I see.
Yeah, we almost didn't go because of those riots they had, if you remember. Before the games, they had some riots, and they shot a lot of people. And there was some discussion as to whether the pentathlon team would go, but fortunately we did. And except for, I guess, the closing ceremony or somewhere near there, they had some more riots, but it didn't affect the pentathlon. The other interesting thing for us was that one evening we were there in our home base at the Olympics, and a fellow knocked on the door and walked in, and here was my Jeep driver from World War II, and he had got out of the Army and became a Catholic priest. But the good thing, in his left hand, he had a 5-gallon can, and he was staying with the nuns in Mexico City, and he had a 5-gallon can of wine from them, which was really very good and well appreciated.
Nice. So he came and visited you at the Olympic Village in Mexico City, and he brought you that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen him for years.
Oh, wow.
I think he was a corporal, I think, for the last time I saw him, driving a Jeep in northern Italy.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. So what were your accommodations like in the Olympic Village?
Oh, it might have been a little cramped, but other than that, the food was good and showers were good, and of course that's the main thing. And I remember it was pretty comfortable. It was crowded, as you know, you have that many people, they put them in fairly small barracks. But we had our own apartment, and it worked out pretty well. Transportation was no problem.
What were your impressions of the security measures taken at those Olympic Games?
I think they were all right, and sometimes that security gets to be a real hassle. But as I remember, in Mexico, we and the pentathletes had no problem. There was, of course, guards and military people all over the place, and lots of them. But they were well trained, and was no hassle for us to get from point A to point B.
Okay. Did you or anyone you know become ill with food or waterborne illnesses in Mexico City in 68?
No, but we had been, before that, we had been down there, and the whole team got sick.
Oh, no.
Including myself. And it was pretty rough, but we were down there for a fencing competition at that point, and everybody got that sickness you get in your stomach.
Hmm.
But at the Olympics, we were fine.
That's good. So you spoke a little bit about the riots that were taking place before the start of the games. Did you know the reason for the riots, or was any reason given at the time?
I'm not sure why they were rioting. There was mostly, I remember, maybe it might have been mostly students that were doing it, but we were kept pretty secluded from that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the opening ceremony of those Olympic Games, and did you participate in that ceremony?
We did not participate in the opening ceremony because we were competing the next day, and I've known from prior Olympics that you stand there for hours and hours. I think recently they've started to give the athletes a place to sit down while this long ceremony takes place. But in Mexico, one or two of the guys may have decided to go, but as a team, we didn't parade.
When you think back about that experience of the Olympics in Mexico City, who are some of the people that you remember the most that you had interactions with while you were there?
Oh, well, of course, I still keep turning Bob Beck now, as far as he got out of the Navy, and he's a dentist and happens to be my dentist here in San Antonio. Doing well. The other ones, in later years, I've had phone calls from a few of them. Fitzgerald is back here. He's here in the States and back in San Antonio. But we were at the game, we were pretty much by ourselves. And except for the officials, we just didn't see much of anybody else. And of course, with pentathlon, with so many of the events, we were. The other interesting thing was we were billed right next to the boxers, so we got to know a lot of them, including the gold medal winner who had became world champion and so forth. And so we had a lot of fun with them. Other than that, we were pretty much by ourselves. The equestrian people were a long way away from us, though. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember having any interactions with other national teams, especially maybe did you have any interactions with the Soviet bloc team or East German team?
No, that's the fact most of the teams we sort of hung around more with the Russian team than any other team. And I believe maybe that the Rome Olympics might have been the first time a pentathlete was barred because of drugs. And I believe a Swiss athlete was suspended for drugs. Mm-hmm. But the American team had no problem.
So do you remember the drug testing procedure that was used in 68?
The what?
Do you remember the drug testing? How did they test for drugs in 1968?
I'm not sure.
Did they collect a urine sample? How did they
Well, yeah, you did a urine sample, and sometimes they did a blood sample. And on him, I'm not sure which, but they probably did both, since he was positive.
And how did you...
They still do the same thing. It's usually a random selection.
Okay. And how did you feel about finding out about that disqualification? Due to drugs, what were your thoughts and feelings about a pentathlete athlete being disqualified because of banned substance?
Well, I think we were all real surprised that it turned out to be a Swiss because they're been in the sport for longer than anybody else and. They were not the nation that we all suspected that was on drugs. So I think it was a little bit of a surprise to just about everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, of course, something that we needed to see in our sport. We suspected it for some time, but this was the first positive.
When you say you suspected it for some time, which country or team were you suspicious of?
Well, particularly after the run, you could see if some people would be completely exhausted and some were acting a little strange. And you just had the feeling that they weren't quite right, but if they weren't tested, there was nothing you could do about it.
Hmm.
I wouldn't, we had suspicions of what nations and so forth, but I wouldn't want to mention to you because I'm not sure.
Okay, that's understandable. So, were you there at the track or just, you know, around the Olympic Village when the American track athletes, Smith and Carlos, raised their fists on the medal stand and created quite a controversy?
No, I was not. No.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that incident from that time?
Dimly, but there again, for whatever reason, the pentathletes, we were, our quarters were a little bit away from a lot of people, so we were pretty much did our own thing, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm. What about the closing ceremony? Did you or any of your team members participate in the closing ceremony?
No, we didn't because there were rumors about being another demonstration and we didn't want to get mixed up in that, so we did not attend the closing ceremony.
Hmm. So what did you do right after the Olympic Games in 1968?
Well, the game was over, we packed our bags and came back to San Antonio. And of course, I stayed with the, still coached the team until 71 or something like that. Or 81, I guess it was. And I'm still in San Antonio and I have a horse farm here of 60 acres and 60 horses in training. I'm 94 years old and still doing it.
That's wonderful. That's great to hear. So that it's interesting because a lot of sports you can't do your whole life. But tell me a little bit about equestrian sports and how long somebody might be able to continue competing in equestrian sports.
Well, I stopped competing internationally pretty early, actually, 35 or 36, because I ran out of horses, and my Olympic horse broke my foot before the 56 games. So, and the Army also told me if I wanted to ever get promoted, I need to start doing some soldiering, which I did. And since then, after I retired from pentathlon twice, I went back to the equestrian, and I've had some students that made the Olympic team, and a lot of other ones are very successful in the horse business.
So I wanted to ask you about amateurism. What are your thoughts on what it meant to be an amateur in the 1960s compared to what amateurism is today?
Well, back then, in those days, it was sort of important to be an amateur because first of all, you couldn't ride on the equestrian team unless you were an amateur. And you couldn't be a pentathlete unless you were an amateur. And nowadays, both the Olympic team is professionals in one way or another. So it's really hard to be an amateur right now and still do what you would like to do. Sport has their own code of conduct for the between amateur and professional.
Mm-hmm. What has been the impact of being an Olympian on your life?
Oh, actually, not as much here in the States as it is in Europe. I mean, just an example, I won a couple of really big classes in Europe, and years ago, and to this day, people still in Germany, in particular, say, "Oh, yeah, he was a Derby Seeger or something like that." Or here in the States, you win a medal, and that's great for one day, but nobody cares much after that, I don't think.
What about in terms of your success in the horse business and with your horse farm? Does having been an Olympian and having been an Olympic coach, does that add your current career endeavors some credibility?
Oh, I think it helps you that way, yeah. I think if you say you were on a couple of Olympic teams and so forth, I think it gives you a little edge probably wherever you go.
And Colonel Russell, what are your feelings about the team reassembly efforts? You know, Tom Lowe spearheading the effort to try to get most of the team members back in touch with each other and to organize reunions and to keep team members communicating. What do you think about all of that?
Oh, I think it's a good idea. There's a big movement right now to a bunch of them to get together and publish a history of pentathlon. And over the years, I think it might be very interesting. And I think we'll all get together and do it. Guy Troy is, Colonel Guy Troy is sort of head of it. He was on the 52 team.
So if you could compare and contrast Mexico City to some of the other Olympic games that you were involved with, what are some of the major comparisons or contrasts that come to mind?
Well, back in the old days, you didn't have all of the additions that you have now. And it's like it's the last one in England. Everyone tries to outdo the last one. I remember in Los Angeles, you know, half of our effort was to make the traffic right and get all the everything, all the events, you know, are dressed up, and the facilities were, you know, absolute first class. Where years ago, you went with a lot of the facilities that were already there. You didn't build big new stadiums and so forth like they do now. And the riding, for example, back years ago when I first went, the riding was the closing ceremony. They just hauled a bunch of jumps up and put them in the ring, and you went in, and that was it. Now you have facilities, you have stadiums, and an X number of veterinarians, and it's takes a lot of doing to put on the event now in the Olympic Games. That's why they're constantly having meetings now to see what they can do to get by with a little less. But every city wants to outdo the last one. And I think they have. Each one has been bigger and better.
So are you... how do you feel about the Olympic movement now, the direction that it is going, the way that the Olympic movement has developed over your lifetime? What are your feelings about that?
Oh, I think it's gotten better and better. I mean, I think the athletes each year, they're just a little bit better, and the swimmers in pentathlon in 1968 would get drowned trying to compete with the ones that are in it today. They all run faster, swim faster, ride probably better, and there's more of them.
Hmm.
So I think it's healthy.
Okay. What advice would you give to today's Olympic hopeful?
First of all, you got to get good coaches, no matter what your sport is. You got to get good coaches. You got to train and train hard. You got to stay at it. I think that's the main thing. I know that my coaching career was difficult to get a guy and stay at it for 5 or 6 years, and that's normally about what it takes.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add to that?
Go there and win.
Is there anything else that you would like to tell me about your experiences in the sport of equestrian and modern pentathlon, or anything else you'd like to tell me about your Olympic experiences before we end the interview today?
No, I think we were about covered it. I was pretty lucky to do, like, I think 4 years in the military service, and was able to spend an awful lot of it in sports. You know, my profession in the Army is tankers, and I hardly even know how to turn one on.
Well, that's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was lucky.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, Colonel Russell, thank you so much for being generous with your time and your memories today. I really appreciate your taking the time and effort to talk to me.
Good. I hope I can get whatever you all turn out with, I hope I can get a copy of it.